encourage one another. The little passage we just had at the end, actually it's twice, isn't it, as Celia's pointed out, in short succession in the bit of 1 Thessalonians we have, the end of chapter 4. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then verse 11 of chapter 5, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And it's been great to hear and to share a few of the ways that we have been encouraged and to, in other ways, encourage one another by sharing those encouragements with each other already this evening. But why is this important? We're going to look at a few different things. We're going to look at why is it actually important that we share encouragement? Why is it that we should be encouraging one another? And we've already picked up, helpfully, from a few people, different reasons about why this is actually important. What is it that we can offer is encouragement? What kind of encouragement should we actually be offering to each other? And how might we actually go about doing that? So as we think about the why of encouragement, it's good to have a little think about the great encourager in the Bible. The one who's the son of encouragement, which would be... anybody? Come on. I know lots of you know. Barnabas, yeah. You find a little bit about him being encouraging in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, you can find it on page 1103 of the Church Bibles. And quick look at verse 26. So this is Barnabas, who was known as the son of encouragement. And we're reading about Paul, who's just been persecuting believers, having Christians killed, and has met Jesus and become his follower, but gets into difficulty when he comes to Jerusalem. Verse 26 of chapter 9. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So here we have Barnabas playing a small role in some ways of just encouraging Saul, or Paul, encouraging him and encouraging others to accept him. And of course we don't fully know what would have happened if he hadn't done that. If you're not familiar so much with the New Testament part of the Bible, you may not know that the majority of the books and the letters that we have in the New Testament part of the Bible were authored by Paul. And Jerusalem being such an important place, how important was it that Paul was welcomed and accepted by the believers there? What would have happened if Barnabas had just stayed with the crowd, if Barnabas had not been the one who went and offered the kind of encouragement that he did? What might have happened about Paul's future and his ministry impact? Quite a few years ago now, and I was growing up in the youth group in the life of my church, and I was nearing towards the end of it and in sixth form, and my youth pastor at the time came to me and said, we want to encourage you to think about taking a gap year and maybe spending some of that time with the church here. We want to provide an opportunity for people to not just have a gap year going off and travelling around the world, but to spend some time with the church and learning and growing and thinking about what might be next for you. And at the time, I can't remember exactly what I was thinking about, if I'm honest with you, and where I was in thinking about what I was going to do next. I was thinking about studying theology. I'd thought about going to just a normal secular university. I'd also thought a little bit about Bible college. But it was one of those little things and a small bit of encouragement that I really took up and really changed the direction for me about what I was thinking next. And even my own story, I don't know what might have happened and where things might have been different if there hadn't been that little bit of encouragement to say, we see something in you, what about doing this with the next year or so? That little bit of encouragement. Why do we need to encourage others? Because actually a little bit of encouragement can make a huge difference. Why do we need encouragement? Well, the other thing is that we all know the impact of being built up as opposed to the impact of being torn down. We've all known voices at one time or another in our lives who've been those voices that have in some way torn us down. And actually it's far too easy for us to carry those with us. Whether there are words that have hurt at one time or another. Whether there are people who've hurt us at one time or another. It might have been something that was intentional. It might have been something that was completely unintentional. It might have just been some unthinking words of someone who may even be very close to us, who may actually dearly love us, but said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And we carry that hurt with us. It's so easy to tear one another down. I think that's something of what Paul was writing in Galatians chapter 5. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbour as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. It's so easy to actually say the words to one another. It's so easy to hold on to and remember the words that are so destructive, that are those words that are biting and devouring and destructive in our lives. And so actually we need to encourage one another actually to combat some of that, because it takes an awful lot actually of encouragement sometimes to let go of some of those voices that have torn us down. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, encourage one another and build each other up. We need to be a people that don't tear each other down, but build each other up. We need to be those voices for one another that sometimes say, yes, go for it. Yes, you've got something there, go and do it. Those voices that believe in us, those voices that believe about what God says about us and will remind us of it. We need to offer that kind of encouragement that helps us to keep on going. Well, actually, maybe it's a struggle and we just need that bit of feedback, that bit of encouragement to say, actually, it was helpful. It made an impact. It changed something, as Linda was sharing with us earlier. That encouragement of actually the words we've said have helped someone come to know Jesus and follow him, as Alex shared with us. We need that encouragement because it's so easy to hold on to the discouragement. We need those positive things. When we struggle sometimes, we need others to remind us of what's true when maybe we're struggling to believe it. Not just those who will build up our ego and those who will say, you're great and you're fantastic and you're wonderful. We don't need a whole load of that. But actually, we sometimes need those just to remind us of what actually is true when we're tempted to believe the lies that may have torn us down. It's why we need encouragement, because a small bit of encouragement can make a huge difference. We need encouragement because we've all have words that have torn us down, and we need those words to lift us up and help us to believe again. That's something of why we need encouragement. But what encouragement do we offer? Paul writes here, therefore encourage one another. What's the kind of encouragement that we offer? Celia helpfully actually picked out, I'm not sure we planned this one, but I know I told you something of what I was saying, but when you read the first part, or the last part of chapter 4, just before this passage, as Celia reminded us at the very beginning, actually this is being written to a people who were struggling. This is being written to a people who are struggling with those who've died. Chapter 4, verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. The whole point that he's writing part of this letter is because they are struggling with some of their fellowship, some of the body who have died, and they don't quite know what to make of it. They're grieving, and they're facing uncertainty and pain, and they're struggling. And not just that, there seems to be something else going on as we get into chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, when someone writes something in a letter that says, we don't need to write to you about, you know that actually they did need to write to them about it. Yeah, he's writing this because something is going on amongst this church where they've got some uncertainty about what's going to happen of Jesus' return. Possibly they were expecting that Jesus would return before anybody died. Now some people have died, they're going, well, what's going on? How these people have died and Jesus hasn't come back yet? So when's Jesus going to come back? And maybe there's some people who are giving some false teaching around that. And he's trying to say, no, come back. Remember what we taught you. It's still true. He's reminding them and encouraging them about what they knew, and now they're struggling with, and they're questioning and they're doubting. He's saying, encourage one another with these words. Actually, in the face of grief, in the face of doubts, what Paul offers here isn't actually just a hug or a smile or a nice word. Actually, what he offers here is a real hope that's actually quite theological in its nature. So don't be scared of that word. It's just offering the truth of what we believe. He offers a real hope. And that's the encouragement that we can offer too. We come to chapter 5, verse 8. And there's a wonderful kind of imagery that goes on, which can get a little bit back and forth, because he's using this imagery of day and night. Since we belong to the day, he writes in verse 8. And through these verses, there's this little back and forth about the day and the night, and his imagery of belonging to the daytime and being awake rather than being asleep. And he uses this kind of metaphor to say, actually, if we're following Christ, we belong to the day. Or if we're following Christ, it's like we're awake. It's this little picture that he's using. In some ways, 1 Peter chapter 2 puts it in a helpful way as well. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into light. To not be a people of the darkness and of the night who are sleeping, but to be a people who are awake. And there's something in the perspective of what he's saying about the return of Jesus. It's as though he's saying, at the moment it's night time. At the moment it's night. We're awaiting the dawn when Jesus will return. And what your job is right now is to be, you're meant to be awake. Because actually you've been called out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus. And we're awaiting his return. The dawn isn't terribly far away. And you need to stay awake and live as people of the daytime as we wait for Jesus to return. And so I think there's this quite helpful picture of saying what we're trying to do for each other here, the encouragement we're trying to offer each other, is an encouragement that says, stay awake. Stay awake. I tried to find it. I was searching through just before the service because it suddenly occurred to me on the way in. I have this video of Caleb. He's now 8, but when he was about 1, there's this wonderful video, which I was really disappointed I couldn't find, of him sat in his high chair, eating what was probably banana and custard, and just sitting there like this. And then you take another spoonful. And you take another spoonful. And just this kind of longing to kind of eat, but also just kind of dropping off. And if you've had children, you might know something of that experience of either them just dropping off or the late kind of car journey home where you're kind of, you really don't want them to fall asleep because you're close to getting home and you want to get them in bed at home and you don't want them to be asleep in the car. And you're kind of doing that thing where there's just kind of nudging and poking and singing songs and wake up and doing all this kind of stuff to just kind of keep them with you on that bit of the journey home. And there's something of that. Or if you've ever done that, if you've ever for some reason had to get up early, maybe you had a job that started particularly early, or maybe you were trying to catch the sunrise for some reason, and you know those kind of mornings where you know you need to or want to get up early, and it's just that, there's that bit where your alarm goes off, and then you turn it off, and you're trying, Elsie's thinking of every Tuesday morning, aren't you? We have an elders meeting at 7 in the morning. Yes, I can tell that's what you're thinking about. And you're just trying to wait. Or maybe it's, 9 o'clock in the morning for some of you. You're just trying to get up. And that's just trying to stay awake. But there's that thing that happens and you're just kind of nodding off. And then you catch yourself just before you do it. Yeah? Is this only just me? Some of you are with me. You kind of catch yourself just before you do it. You go, no, I need to be awake. And there's something of that picture here, of that kind of being awake. It's early in the morning. The dawn is coming. And stay awake. And the encouragement we need to offer one another is that stay awake. Wake up. He's coming. And it's a picture also of something of avoiding what goes on in the night. Let us be sober. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Those who get drunk at night. It's using drunkenness as a picture of all the kind of stuff which doesn't belong to living as people of the day, living as people of who follow Christ, that worldly living isn't in keeping with people of the day, people who are seeking to follow Jesus. And there's this anticipation of living of people as the day and awaiting it. And we're to offer the encouragement of this. And part of that encouragement is of speaking the truth in love. It's sometimes of giving each other a little poke to keep each other awake. It's sometimes of saying, actually, you need to live as someone of the daytime as we wait, not people of the night. Let us encourage one another to stay awake and await Christ's return. And there's these three familiar words that come in, which if you're familiar with the New Testament, with Paul's writing, may well ring a bell. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. That our defence, our armour as we wait the dawn, is faith, hope, and love. And we're to encourage one another to keep on putting on these things, to keep on clothing ourselves with these things, keep on being dressed in faith, hope, and love. And the next couple of verses go on to expand what that faith, hope, and love looked like. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, and there he's talking about being alive or dead, he's mixing his metaphors from before, those who are alive or those who've passed away, we may live together with him. He's saying our faith is that Jesus died for us. The cornerstone of what we believe is that Jesus died on the cross for us. That's what we have to come back to again and again. The heart of what we believe is that Jesus died. We need to encourage one another to hold on to that faith of Jesus' death and resurrection. The love that we're reminded of is the love of God. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. To remember the love that God has for us, that God so loved the world that he sent his Son for us. That's what we're to continue to be encouraged by, to find hope in. That God did not appoint us to judgment, but has appointed us to receive salvation through the Son. That he loves us and he has plans for us, and plans and a future for us. The hope that we have is a hope that we live together with him. This is the hope of salvation that he offers us. Not just that we might be saved, not that we will be saved, but actually that we have salvation now through Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. And actually through that, in this faith, in this hope, in this love, we find that we have nothing to fear, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because we know that Christ will return, and we know that all will be made right in him. And we have certainty because it's all rooted in what Jesus did on the cross, in the death and resurrection of a man who was God. It's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging, the faith and the hope and the love. And what Paul is writing is saying, so go and encourage one another with this stuff. Help keep each other awake by reminding one another of this truth. So how is it that we do this? We've thought about why we need encouragement, what encouragement we can offer. How do we actually go about it? Well, sometimes it is actually just in the small things and the long journeys. Ooh. That's really interesting. I think my first bullet point might appear later. Don't quite know how PowerPoint's done that, but anyway. The first bullet point, well, you might see later, is the small things and the long journeys. Sometimes, you know, it is the small things that we offer in encouragement. Sometimes it is the welcome, the hug, the smile, the kind word. Actually, sometimes we can encourage people just with the small things. Sometimes it's the long journey with one another. It's something of what I think John was speaking of earlier. Actually, those people who are willing to be there in some of John's moments that he struggles with the most, and then journey with him on. Actually, sometimes that's what we can do for one another. Actually, to be with those who are struggling, who are in hardship, and to journey with them through that. And that can be hard, because it's hard to walk with people who are in pain. It's hard when you want to see them better. It's hard when it seems to take a long time. And sometimes what we can do is encourage one another by walking through the long journey with one another. The other thing we can do to encourage each other is to be vocal in affirmation. And it seems bizarre that we have to say that, isn't it? But there's a certain culture amongst us that means we have to remind that actually the best way to encourage people is actually to say things. And actually to offer words. To actually speak it out. Actually, if we're going to encourage each other, sometimes these things have to be said. And a few things that might help. Sometimes it helps to look at who someone is, who they are. Sometimes it helps to look at who they can be in Christ. To not look at what people aren't, but to look at actually who they can be in Christ. And offer that encouragement of what is ahead, of what Jesus wants to do in their lives. It's easy sometimes to encourage people to be what it is you want them to be. or to struggle with people because they're not what you'd like them to be. And sometimes we have to look at who they can be in Christ. Sometimes it helps to encourage, not just by saying thank you for what someone has done, but actually looking at the way they've done it. I appreciate that you did that really faithfully, that you were really generous, that you did that in such a kind way. And sometimes those words can be really helpful. We have to be vocal in affirmation, even actually with those that we find the most difficult. If you were here this morning, we were talking about loving our enemies. And there's something of that in this, that actually we have to be vocal in encouraging even those we might find the most difficult, not just those that we like. Because you know what? It isn't that hard to encourage those we like. We're probably still pretty bad at it, but it's not always so difficult to encourage those we get on with. But we need to encourage even those that we find difficult, to build one another up and not to tear each other down. And to use God's word to encourage. There we go. To use God's word to encourage one another. Actually, what we've been talking about is the hope that comes from God's word, is faith, hope, and love. To use that to help one another. And you might, maybe you struggle with that, maybe your Bible knowledge isn't great. There's all sorts of things actually that are useful for doing that. There's all sorts of ways that actually you can have a look on the internet and have a look at different things. There's a website that I particularly enjoy. It's called Open Bible. If you Google Open Bible, it will come up. And it's just been compiled by people. It's not a deeply theological website, but there's all sorts of different topics on there, all sorts of different subjects. And people have gone, here's some verses that relate to these subjects. And it's user-generated stuff. People have gone, yes, that's helpful, that relates to it. And you'll see those ones first. It's not deeply theological. Sometimes verses are taken out of context. But you know what? When you've got a topic and you're thinking, someone's going through this, what does the Bible say about it? Well, I want to encourage someone in this kind of way. What might the Bible say about it? It's a useful resource. Open Bible. Just Google it. It will come up. Using the Bible isn't a reason to skip the other parts. Sometimes we can enjoy as Christians using Bible verses that we've memorized to skip the long journey with people. Even the passage that we've had this evening. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So it's okay, you don't need to be sad. And we can sometimes use that as a bit of an excuse. I've encouraged them with a verse of scripture, and so I can skip the long, hard bit. We need both and in that. And sometimes, if you struggle with the verses to use or looking through the Bible, actually just those reminders of faith, of hope, and of love. And we can encourage one another to stay awake. What does the love of Jesus say to you right now? Can I encourage you to think about what Jesus' love means in the situation you're going through? How does the hope of Jesus and that Jesus will return help you right now? What difference can your faith and your trust in Jesus make right now? Sometimes we don't have to have all the answers. We can just ask questions that encourage us to stay awake and to look to him. So a few words and a few things that I've found helpful and that I hope will help as we seek to encourage one another. I don't think it's all the answers, but it's some of the questions. We thought about the why we should offer encouragement, what encouragements we can offer, how we might do it, and my final question is when might we encourage each other? And my suggestion is now. This is what Celia was warning you about. So, we're going to do something a little bit different. If this was Yaz, then by this point, we would be giving out A4 sheets of paper. You'd all write your name on the top, and it would be passed around the group, and you have to write something encouraging for each person and fold it over, and so that at the end, someone gets the piece of paper and everyone's written something encouraging. Now, I thought you'd probably all hate me if I did that in a Christian way, and also it would take a very long time for us to do that this evening. So I thought I could trust you as adults, unlike Yaz, that actually we could take some time and we can have some tea and coffee at this point, and an opportunity to try and share some encouragements for one another. Let me encourage you. This doesn't mean you have to suddenly start faking stuff and making things up. Because if we're going to encourage each other, it's only going to be encouraging if in some way it's genuine. So it might be the chance to chat, and it might be in the course of that to see the things that are encouraging. It might be that actually you've been thinking, there's someone and they did something, they said something, or whatever it might be, something small, and I've been meaning forever to say it, because we're all pretty bad at meaning to encourage people and not do it. And it might be a chance now that you could go and do that. You've all been given little bits of paper, and there's probably some more at the back somewhere. And if it's helpful, if you don't want to use this time to talk to people, or you'd find it a more helpful way to do it, if you want to write something down that you can give to someone else, or who's here or not here, then you might like to take this time just to write something that you could pass on. Or if you want to write a message or an email or whatever and sit on your phone, even if that's just a way of avoiding people, that's okay. Don't feel you have to do it. But I wanted to provide some space that we might put this into practice now, rather than it just being something that we talk about and then forget. So, a little bit of space to encourage one another, grab a cup of tea or coffee if you'd like one, and some time to chat, and we'll do this for about 15 minutes, okay? And then we'll come back together, and we'll come back together with the song. So when you hear John strumming the guitar, that's your cue to stop being encouraging.